You know, maybe the kids feel it right now. I don't know. But there are times that we go through life and we say, but I've done nothing wrong. Why is this happening to me? I hope the kids aren't saying that as they go out to class. You know, there are finance things that happen and our physical issues that we go through. Sometimes they're temporary. Sometimes they're long term. There are psychological or spiritual things that go on. And by that, what I mean is that we think things are going wrong. Maybe they're not really going wrong, but it's actually a trick of Satan, or as it would be called, the bait of Satan, that makes us think that things are going wrong and that people are attacking us. So we react in ways that are not correct. Now, I'm not speaking of when you sin and you know you're sinning, but you keep doing it. Therefore, you keep seeing consequences about your actions that you took. But there are times that it seems that you're just living the life you're supposed to. You're praising Adonai. You're loving the people around you. But things happen that you just don't understand. Something big causing you to say, but wait, I did nothing wrong. Why am I being attacked? Why is this happening? What should I do during this time that I'm being stressed and attacked? I don't deserve this. You know, almost everyone feels that way at one time in their lives, at least, if not more often. You know, in the congregation, we're going to have some people who are going through surgery soon. Do we say, they must have done something wrong to have this going on? No, that's not what's going on at all. There are multiple reasons for things to happen to us. First is that you're actually a sinner. And Adonai is using this thing to help you to see and correct your path that you're on. The second is that Satan has made you think people are attacking you or that you sin, and then you do something to yourself as a way of punishment. The third is that there is no true fault for that something that happened. A body part wears out, or maybe a cell becomes misformed and turns into a cancer in your body. Maybe even an opportunity you wanted didn't occur. Nothing you did caused the season that you're going through. It's just life happening. That is sometimes what it is. We have all gone through these kinds of seasons or times in our lives. Times when the unpleasantness and the burdens and the stresses of life all come together, it seems like. One big, oh, I just want to sit down in a puddle of tears and cry. I did nothing wrong. What's going on? You know, it doesn't matter who you are. It can happen to you. But even the greatest people in Scripture went through these times. The people did so much kvetching, and complaining to Moses as they were going through the desert that he finally just turned to Adonai and said, I've had it. And we read this in Numbers 11. Turn my little clicky thingy on. Oh, you had it. You know, I'm going to let you do it. So Numbers 11:11, starting there. So Moses asked Adonai, why have you brought trouble on your servant? Haven't I found favor in your eyes? that you laid the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people or give birth to them that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom just as the nurse carries an infant to the land you promised their fathers? Where can I get meat for all these people? For they wail at me, saying, give us meat to eat. I am not able to carry all these people by myself. The load is too heavy for me. If this is how you're treating me, kill me now. If I have found favor in your eyes, kill me, please. Don't let me see my own misery. As the leader of the people of Israel, they complained to Moses, and he just couldn't take it anymore. He says, kill me now. I can't take it anymore, and I don't want to take it anymore. Even Moses felt the stresses of the life he was leading. Not only Moses, but Yeshua even felt this at the end, when everything was coming down on him, just because of who he is and what he was going to do for the world. Look what we're told in Luke 22. Luke 22, starting in verse 32. Then they came to a place whose name is Gethsemane. Gethsemane. And Yeshua says to his disciples, sit here a while and pray. He takes with him Peter, Jacob, and John, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. And he tells them, my soul is deeply grieved, even to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little further, he fell to the ground and began praying that if possible, this hour might pass him by. And he was saying, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Could you imagine Yeshua, the light of the world, saying that based on all that's happened so far and all that he knew was going to happen coming up, he was grieved to the point of death. Now, he may not have said it this way, but it seems to me what he was saying to Adonai, the Father, was, with all that's going on, I just may die before they kill me. He was stressing out. We don't think of Yeshua that way, but look what he was saying. Even Yeshua, while on the earth, in a bodily form, felt the pressure and was at a point that he did not want to go forward. If the pressures and expectations of life can get to Yeshua, then how could they not get to each of us as well? I think that there really are four answers that people give during these times of great stress. The first is they just want to give up. This is part of the fight or flight response. Look at what King David said in the Psalm when the troubles got to be too much on him. Psalm 55, starting in verse 6. Fear and trembling came upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and find rest. Surely I would flee far away. I would stay in the wilderness, Selah. Selah, indeed. The king says, I wish I was a dove and would just say, I'm out of here. There's no peace here. I will go someplace where there's no one and I can finally find my shalom. Now, this is not an unusual way to react at times. Many just say, Lord, get me out of this mess. Elijah, right? He had the spiritual victory over Baal, that false god. And then he killed all of the priests of Baal. He felt that way. He had a victory over the spiritual, but when the verbal threat came from Jezreel, he was too tired to fight anymore. 1 Kings 19:3. Frightened, he got up and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under the broom bush. He prayed that he might die. "It's too much," he said. "Now, Adonai, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's." Just after the fire was released by Adonai down onto his sacrifice, just after the people grabbed the priests of Baal and killed them, one word from a queen who opposed him, and he was out of there. David said if he was a dove, he would fly away, but Elijah did just that. He did fly away by running away. Next, there are those who will not have the flight kicked in, but the fight will kick in. They look towards Adonai to fight for them or with them. They just want to go right to the thinking that if I'm right, and Lord, you need to show them that I'm right. I am in no way saying that this is right or wrong. But some will use the scripture to try to have Adonai fight for them, even when it's Adonai himself who's trying to show them something. They'll use a verse like Psalm 35. Psalm 35, starting in verse 1. It's a psalm of David. "Adonai, oppose those who oppose me. Fight those who fight me. Take hold of shield and buckler and rise up to my help. Draw out also the spear and the battle axe. Stop those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation." Now, this is okay if you know who your true enemy is coming against you and that he has no reason. "Lord, go and kick some, you know what, for me. You are my protector, and I am tired of fighting." And this may be okay in some situations, but as I said, be sure you know who you are fighting and who has caused you to feel that you can't go any longer. Now, I don't mean the face that's before you, but what's the spirit behind the situation? It's good to have our hope in Adonai in our battles. For we are told that there is nothing that he cannot overcome. Isaiah 54, starting verse 17. "No weapon formed against you will prosper, and you will condemn every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of Adonai's servants. Their vindication is from me." It is a declaration of Adonai. We absolutely should have trust in him as the one who will have victory every time. But all I'm saying is, are you sure what the battle is about? If you do, then this is the right response. But if you don't know, then the next response is probably the more appropriate response. And that's the fourth way that people will react, which is to self-examine. They take the situation so that that's so overwhelming, and they'll use it as a wake-up call. That's a good thing. They're not going to allow this time of physical or mental exhaustion to block what Adonai may have to say to them. Instead of turning to run or fight right away, They turn inward to look to see if there is something that Adonai wants them to see and to clean up. This looking at ourselves is just as Solomon says in Lamentations. When Jerusalem is destroyed and the people are lamenting and wailing, Solomon says this to them, Lamentations 3:40. Let us examine and test our ways, and let us return to Adonai. Let us lift up our heart and hands to God in heaven. Solomon says to them and to us, if there is something that the Lord wants us to know about ourselves and our ways, then we should look to see what it is. Don't turn your back out of exhaustion and miss out on the possible time of improvement and of getting closer to Adonai. These times that are going that you're going through and wanting to give up may just actually be times that Adonai wants you to do something that is so important for you. How is it important? Look at what we're told in 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 30. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and quite a few have died. If we were judging ourselves thoroughly, we wouldn't be coming under judgment. But when we are judged, we are being disciplined by the Lord so that we might not be condemned along with the world. Shaul says, you may be sick and tired, but don't waste the opportunity of hearing what Adonai say. The word discipline that Shaul uses may not be the best there, in my opinion, but who am I to argue with Shaul? What's really going on is a testing to get you to see where you are with Adonai. It is far better to have him show you where you are and you recognize it and change than to not be disciplined now and to be lost for all eternity with a sinful world. Because those are the choices. We need to remember a reminder of Revelation 3 to the congregation of Laodicea, which says this, Revelation 3:19, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Therefore be zealous and repent. Perhaps the most important thing to remember is that Adonai loves, and his loving means that he will not just look away when we sin, but will try to move us from our path of sin onto the correct path that leads to being in his presence for all eternity. His love is not leaving us as we are, but moving us to improving us. He is not punishing us as the word discipline implies. But he is using his staff and rod to correct our path. And the final way that we could react to that those feelings of wanting to give up is to remember that we are to trust that he is able to use all things for the good of the kingdom. The things that feel like they're going to break us could be the things that is used for his intention in doing something that you don't even realize yet. You have no idea what's really going on. Joseph must have felt this way many times. He had no idea what he was going through. He had no idea why he was sold into slavery by his brothers. He had no idea why he was thrown into jail after falsely being accused of a crime. But by the end, he knew what was going on. By the end, in Genesis 50, by his own words to his brothers, who started all these bad things that were happening to him, he started to understand. Genesis 50, verse 19. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid, for am I in the place of God? Yes, you yourselves planned evil against me. God planned it for good, in order to bring about what it is this day, to preserve the lives of the many people." Now, I would say that when you know that what the outcome is, and that it is for his good, for the good of the kingdom, that it's going to be easier to get through the season. The problem is that we never really get to know it while we're going through it. So what do? We keep moving in faith, knowing that he can do good regardless of what it looks like to us. We just did read Romans 8:26 and 7 earlier. Now let's read the verse that follows that. "Now we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Shaul says that regardless of what happens to him, he knows that Adonai can use it. So, hey, why worry about what it is? And why get to the point of giving up? And the thing is, the more you're doing, the more you're going to be attacked. Satan doesn't care if you're doing nothing. Satan only attacks when you're moving forward with Adonai. And the more you're attacked, of course, by Satan, the more you're going to get that feeling of wanting to give up, because that's why he's doing it. But we're told to hold on to what we know. 2 Timothy 1, starting in verse 8, it says this: "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the good news according to the power of God. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not because of our deed, but because of his purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Messiah Yeshua before time began, but now has been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Messiah Yeshua. Indeed, he nullified the power of death and brought life and immortality to light through the good news. For this good news, I was appointed a herald and an emissary and a teacher. For this reason, I am also suffering these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know that in whom I have trusted, and I am convinced he is able to safeguard what I have entrusted to him until that day." Now, there are two things that I want to point out. The first is the first of them is, especially when you're feeling defeated and want to quit. You know, you're going to say, "Yeah, but that's Shaul. He was an apostle. He was a teacher. He was a heralder. He was an emissary." But you know what? You have that special place in Adonai's heart as well. We're all called to do something. This is not just a word for leaders. We're all called to teach. We're all called to reach out. We're all the same as Shaul. We can all be leaders, all be teachers, but we're also all called to be different jobs within the body of Messiah. And as such, we're all under the same protection from Adonai as Shaul was. Because we go forth with the same message as Shaul, we are not to be ashamed of the good news. And we are to believe that the Lord is able to safeguard what was entrusted to us until the final day when Messiah returns. We may feel at times that, what did I do to deserve being attacked like this? But he is able to protect you to the end. And that means until the time that you find yourself in heaven before the throne. Therefore, we are to take heart and take these words from Philippians 1. Philippians 1:6. I am sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day Messiah returns. Right until the day of Messiah, we're to have a trust that he will complete the good work that he started in each and every one of us. In other words, even as we do what Adonai wanted from us, there will be things that happen, but through them all, we are to know that Adonai will complete the good that he has in us, so that not only can we do the task assigned to each of us, but also that we can run the race to the end and gain the reward of being with him for all eternity. Now, Peter gave the same message about trusting in Adonai through our troubles and through our whole life. 1 Peter 4:19. So then, those who suffer according to God's will, let them trust their souls to the faithful Creator while continuing to do good. The good works. What we feel that we suffer, I mean, we all feel that we suffer at times. For some, it feels like it's all the time. For some, there are periods of great trials. But for all, when they trust in who Peter calls the faithful Creator, they should trust that he will do good as you continue to do good. Even when you are overly tired, you should understand that it will be the time that we take hold, that it should be that time that we take hold of what we're told in Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work it from the soul, as for the Lord and not for people. For you know that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as a reward. It is to the Lord Messiah you are giving service. And the fact is that his good is always going to be better than our good. So we must never stop doing the good for him towards others. Even when we're tired, to the point of not wanting to go on any longer, we know that when we do well, it will go well for us. It goes well because of the response that we know will come from Adonai. He is our great comforter who never fails. Remember early we read how Moses came to his breaking point before Adonai? Look how Adonai responded as we go back to Numbers 11:16. Adonai said to Moses, bring me 70 of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and their leaders. Take them to the tent of meeting so they may stand with you there. Then I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take some of the ruach that is on you and will place it on them. They will carry with you the burden of the people, so you will not be carrying it alone. He didn't reject Moses. He didn't just say he'll find someone else. He brought with love an answer to remove the pressures from Moses. He revealed the system that Moses was to put in place so that he would be able to still judge the people, but not feel all the pressures. Adonai, in his love and mercy, did for Moses was what was not just good for Moses, but for the people under Moses as well. This is the nature of Adonai, not just the best for one, but the best for the kingdom. We also read about Yeshua earlier and his reaction to the stress of being Messiah, which no one can even imagine. But look what Adonai did then. We read this in the telling back in Luke. So in Luke 22:41, we have the same story. And he pulled back about a stone's throw from them, got on his knees and began to pray, saying, "Father, if you are willing, take the cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Now an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And in his anguish, he was praying fervently, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. He was on his knees praying, sweating like blood was running down his face. But an angel from heaven appeared and gave him strength. Imagine an angel from heaven coming to give strength to Yeshua. Adonai finds ways to strengthen us all when we need it. Sometimes the angels are heavenly hosts. Sometimes they're neighbors and families who come to give you strength. But it's always because of Adonai. That is who he is, as we're told in Psalm 34. Psalm 34:18. The righteous cry out, and Adonai hears and delivers them from their troubles. Adonai is close to the brokenhearted and saves those crushed in spirit. Many are the distresses of the righteous, but Adonai delivers him out of them all. This is who our God is and how he cares about his righteous ones and how he helps them in the time that they're in trouble. And it feels like they just can't go on. He is our source of strength, regardless what we're going through and regardless where the trouble is coming from. I would say that most of the time when we want the troubles to be removed, the strength we receive is not the removal of the trouble, but his presence in the midst of the trouble. Look at how Adonai answered Shaul when he told us of the time that he cried out to Adonai. He had this thorn, and he prayed three times to have this thorn removed because it was uncomfortable, it was painful, it was troublesome. This is what he told the Corinthians about that time that he cried out in 2 Corinthians 12:8. I pleaded with the Lord three times about this, that it might leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness, so that the power of Messiah may dwell in me. For Messiah's sake, then, I delight in weakness, in insults, in distress, in persecutions, in calamities. For when I am weak, I am strong." Shaul says that the thorn was not removed, but the presence of Adonai was always there with him so that he can get through those times that would bring him to that point of, "I give up." When he was weak, when he was getting insulted, when he was distressed, when others persecuted him, and he was living through those times that he called calamities, then Shaul knew calamities. Let me tell you, he really did. Shipwrecked, beaten, caned across the back, stoned, left for dead. All these times he could have, and most of us would have said, "That's enough. I'm tired of this stuff. I quit." He did not, because he knew and felt Adonai was with him. He knew it. That same Ruach that was with Shaul is with us for all the same reasons. When we say, "That's enough. I was doing what Adonai wanted, but I'm so tired and so weak, I can't go on. I quit." He's there by the Ruach within and around us so that we are strengthened by him. When we allow it to be, We still have to allow him to strengthen us. We still have to reach out to touch the hem of his garment. What does reaching out towards his garment look like? We're told this in Romans 8, Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Ruach helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Ruach himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows the mind of the Ruach, because he intercedes for the Keshadim, the holy ones, the righteous ones, according to the will of God. When we don't know what to do or even how to pray, the Ruach HaKodesh, because he knows the mind of God, will intercede for us with the same groans that we moan, because we cannot even come up with the words to pray. And when we join together with the Ruach, or even just depend upon him because we're so out of strength that we're unable to do anything, that is when we depend on what it says in Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, 29, you all know this one. He gives strength to the weary, and the one without vigor, he adds might. When we don't have the strength to walk even one more step, he gives us the strength to walk towards him for the rest that we need. As we're told in Matthew by the words of Messiah Yeshua himself, Matthew 11:28. I'm coming to the conclusion. Come to me, all who is weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He gives us strength to walk to him so that we can find our rest in him. In that rest, we find strength to go forward with him. When we think we want to give up, that is the time to remember to not give up, but to give in to him. Lean into his love and mercy. Allow him to have his way. Take on the rest that he wants us to have. This is not a time to just sit and do nothing, but to press into what he wants you to do, even if what he wants you to do is just to sit still and pray. It is comforting to see that none of those things that we are told in Scripture, including of both Moses and Yeshua, none of those men that we read in Scripture faked having strength when they didn't. They all admitted where they were. I'm so tired, I just want to die. When they were tired and about to give up, they were honest about their limitations, which is perhaps the greatest lesson for us when we feel like giving up. When we want to give up, don't give up. Look up. Look up to him. Father, we thank you that you are our strength. You are our comforter. When we're totally out of power, unable to take another step, we look up to you. It gives us the strength to walk to you, and then you give us the strength to continue on. We thank you that you are that God who loves us so much that we can look to you for that strength. We acknowledge who we are. We are those who are unable to do it on our own. We are those who don't have the strength to do it on our own. But we also acknowledge that we are your children. And as your children, we can look up to you for the strength that we need to continue on when we feel that we don't have it. We just thank you and praise you for that strength that you provide in every situation. And everyone said, Amen.